If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for Closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Astar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the light of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Astar Command. Tonight our topic is Dancing Our Cosmic Dream Awake. We could also subtitle it Ananda Marga, The Way of Bliss. You know, more than anything else, we are known by our energy. We have a very unique energy signature. But overall, it's our vibrations that define our level of consciousness. One of the spiritual travelers of our traveler lineage was Henry David Thoreau. And he said something that was very true. He said, our truest life is when we are in our dream, awake. Our truest life is when we are in our dream, awake. So let me ask you, in your estimation of self, are you awake in your dream? You know, this life that you are dreaming right now at this moment. You know, there's a lot of things that are going on the world stage. A lot of earth change events. A lot of people are going through the nightmare dream scenario of great suffering. And I think every one of us on Earth assignment has a great, great desire to reach out and comfort and uplift and be of service and not be part of the problem. But you know, the greatest service, the most precious gift that any one of us can possibly bestow on this Earth and give to humanity is to wake up. That is the most precious thing we can do, is to awaken to our divinity and raise our vibrations so that we resonate peace and joy and love, the sum total of which I guess we could call in English bliss. But I prefer the Sanskrit term because it's more definitive. It's not so limited. Ananda. And Ananda has nothing to do with what's happening in your outer scenario, your outer life, your personal ego-projected nightmare. It has everything to do with what you are eternally within the quantum universe. And let's do a meditation now in which, again, we probe into the self. Who are we? What are we? What's going on within our energetics? How can we awaken and lift and expand? And when we're finished with this show, be a little bit more expanded in the self-realization that this show is designed to quicken and activate. It's a good thing that we have absolute control on a conscious level over our state of vibration. This is not something that we can look to anyone to fix for us. We absolutely have dominion as soul, as spirit, over our levels and where we choose to place them and how we choose to exercise the energetics that we have available to us in our life stream. So let's close our eyes and just relax into the self. I've had some really powerful experiences the last few days in meditation. And it's actually this that I'd like to share with you tonight. I usually have some talk time with the Lord in the morning. And lately, I will sit down and I'll just say, Father, Mother, God. And that's as far as I get. And next instant, I am in this sea of golden bliss that is so awesome. And I don't come into it with any intention other than just to commune with Source. So I think the intention is very important, that you don't try to mystify this. You just sit down with the intention to connect. It's just that simple. And I found that I was a sea of absolute ecstasy. And as I explored my energy field, and wow, I was drunk with bliss. And I think you'll find that underneath everything else going on in the surface of your life, there's that substratum of ecstasy, of absolute quiescent bliss. I say quiescent because it's the state of the wholeness. There's nothing lacking. It is that peace that transcends our understanding. So take a deep breath. Dive deep into the self. And with an intention, however you like to language it, just connect to your divine source. And now begin to experience that sea, that river of consciousness and vibrations and information and awareness that's moving as atoms and subatomic particles and vastness. Just get a sense of the self that is your energy. And just notice, without any kind of critique or judgment, what kind of energy, what sort of vibration is coursing through you right now. Just notice. Energy does not have any good or bad attached to it. Energy simply is either vibrating at a high vibration, which means it's aligned with truth, or it's vibrating at a low, dense vibration, which means that it's identified more with a separated self or the ego. So naturally, the more we can resonate the truth of our being, the more our energy raises. And the more our energy raises, the more we communicate to everything in the quantum universe, which is totally one unified field. When you are centered in your beingness, every single quark of existence is touched, is lifted, is enlightened, is blessed, is blissed. You bliss everything when you're in your bliss. So just be aware of what kind of energy you allowed to source through you today. What kind of a day did you have? What did you vibe out into your environment today? And what kind of vibrational energy generally defines your habitual state? Bear in mind, energy is never the same any 2 seconds. It's always changing. It's always making a statement into the all that is. That's either the fullness, which is the truth, or the lack, which is the fiction from which we are called to awaken. So have we been the fullness today? Have we had the energy signature of the self, the divine true self today. And just notice if that's been so for you. Now, I would like to take us in a bottom side up meditation today, because normally I do the top side down, you know, where in highest truth we've never left the heart of God, and we extend as a stream of consciousness. But tonight I want to take us up through the chakra system and give you a reference point to how it feels when that center is open and clear, and you, as a spirit, are functioning well through that center. Contrary to some belief systems, you don't close off chakras and close off portions of your life as you raise your vibration in the ascension process. There are not certain chakras that are bad or naughty or inappropriate. We are like a flute of God, and that divine breath is to blow through all of the chakras. Each of the chakras leads to a realm, a world of experiential reality. So when you are a multidimensional integrated being, you can enter those worlds at will, but not get trapped in them. Now, I'm just going to give you the positives of these chakras. I'm not going to even look at what they are when they're in their negative state, because I think you can probably tune into what they are yourself. So place your attention in your root chakra. And the root chakra is located in the perineum area, right in the center of your body. If you had a pole and went right through the crown chakra out through the area between the legs, you would have a point of the root chakra. And experience here the bliss of solid, secure support. Boy, you're just solid. Solid there. Totally in support. The foundation of your life is secure. Again, because of who and what you are, not because of anything going on in your environment. However, if you're in that state of a balanced root chakra, you will just naturally manifest security and support as your state of being. Now move the chakra awareness up to the second chakra. Oh, this is a delicious one to hang out in. Everyone who's ever been in love is well familiar with the vibrations of the second chakra. This is the bliss of intimate union, romantic joining, that beautiful ecstasy when people become one, even in the physical act of love. It's just the closest thing to merging with God. And just enjoy the bliss, the thrill that courses through that chakra when you're open to romance, open to sexual expression, open to self-giving, open to intimacy and merging with your beloved. And now move up into the third chakra. This too is just heady with empowerment. Experience the bliss of empowerment, self-confidence, courage. There's a wonderful word in Russian. I can't think of any English word that quite captures it, and it's called podvig. Podvig, it's like that adamant courage of a hero that is a hero of spirit, one of the giant stags of the forest that has the presence and the anointing of the beloved upon them. That vibration of bliss in the third chakra. And now move the energy up into the fourth chakra. Oh, this is wonderful. This is the wonderful heart chakra. And here we experience the bliss of self-giving. Oh, this is the chakra that gives absolute joy in serving and giving and loving and extending self without limit. And I mean the divine self, not the limited self. Just sometimes people ask me how I am, and I'll say, I'm having a party in my heart. And you know, the heart is the one unifying chakra that when it expands, it brings a unification of all the chakras into a holistic circuity, like a great central sun. So that is the synthesizing chakra, in the sense that it subsumes and eclipses all of the other chakras. It is said that the true heart chakra is the very last one to open. Many people think they're in their heart chakra, but actually they're operating out of their second and third chakras. And sometimes you can tell the difference, because out of those chakras you get your feelings hurt. You get pissed off when people don't do it your way. You divorce people you once said you'd love for eternity. That's second and third chakra. Pretend love. It's not the real deal. Because when you really love, that love is the same. It's like sun rays. It goes out on the just and the unjust, the lovable and the unlovable. It just loves. It's what I often call the living love. So you become heart space. Your whole being becomes one great heart center when that center is really opened. And then we have the fifth chakra. Oh, this is blissful too. This is the bliss of freely expressing and communicating and creating. And this is what I'm operating out of as I share my video shows. There's a bliss because I'm talking about things that are true and real and eternal, that we can never lose. These can never be problems because they're part of the solution that ends all problems. And now we move up into the sixth chakra. This is the brow chakra. And here we have the bliss, and it is bliss, of absolute clarity. Where you see through divine seership that which is, and that which is that all, everything you lay your eyes on is part of God, is divine, and is holy. There's nothing you can lay your eyes on that is not holy when it is seen through the purified sixth chakra. And now we move up into the seventh chakra. And this is the bliss of divine union. This is the sense of wholeness, which in itself just makes you absolutely heady with bliss. When you get a sense of your wholeness, your fulfillment, your completeness, with nothing lacking, no little niggly desires pulling you away from that sense of all-embracive, radiant wholeness and gratitude. And then there's the eighth chakra, which is again the staging arena that begins to subsume all of the chakras and redirect them into the manifestation of what we call the Christ consciousness and the Christ over self. And here you have a sense of the bliss of unity, this sense of the unified field in which we're all connected as one great fabric of existence. And that's a tremendous sense of bliss. And then the ninth chakra. Raise up. And this is the bliss of expansion. A sense of beingness. Where you're just everywhere that. You wear the galaxies and the universes, like little star clusters in the vastness of your cosmic beingness. And the 10th and 11th and 12th chakras are just absolute expansions beyond that, if it's possible to even conceive of that. You go beyond. Whatever you think you are beyond that. You go further. It doesn't stop. It doesn't end. The universe is expanding at the speed of light. And you are the speed of light. And your vibration has consciousness that is expanding its awareness. You are that divine being becoming more aware of its own beingness. How awesome is that? And now let's bring it down into your hand. Take your hand. Actually, you could focus on any part of your body, but the hand is usually the easiest thing to focus on. Pretend that you have X-ray vision and can look into the energy of your hand. Actually, you have X-ray vision in your sixth chakra, so use it. We all have divine seership. So look into the energy of your hand. Or you can also imagine that you have a high-powered microscope. And look and imagine that you can see into the atoms and ever smaller particles until you get down to the subatomic particles of the quantum reality. You look closer and you see that even the particles aren't matter. You actually are energy. And the energy is vibrating at different rates of vibration that change as you intend into them. Actually, as you look at them, they take on the form of your intention, your vibration. This is why your life is your vibrational state outpictured. So look closely until you can clearly see there's no solid form to your hand at all. It is simply energy vibrating at various rates of frequency. The higher the energy, the faster is the rate of vibration. The lower the energy, the slower is its rate of vibration. So life, or vital force, also known as prana or chi, to be healthy needs to flow freely and to vibrate at the highest level possible. Like children, you know, healthy children are so full of energy, so rambunctious. And the slower and lower the rate of vibration, the less vitality or life force it is exhibiting. Now, you don't have to be physically active to be vital. And you can go and sit with some of these great yogis like I have, and they don't move much physically, but good heavens, are they alive multidimensionally. So, and the Shaolin priests, you know, they the ones that developed Kung Fu, they developed, not Kung Fu, Tai Chi primarily, but also Qigong and some of the other martial arts were specifically developed as internal fiber meditation so that they wouldn't have to exercise physically. They could exercise in their meditation and not take time from their inner process. So we can actually exercise our vibrations through the exercising of our consciousness and our imagining. And the same neurological processes will be firing. The same muscles will be exercised. We can do the whole thing in our mind. So, again, the mind, the state of consciousness, what we think, what we say, our intention, has everything to do with the quality of vibration that we are raising or lowering. So, the electrification of our vibration, when it's meeting with the fohat of divine spirit, that is called centrifuge. That's when you're taking in energy and you're vital. And consequently, when the energy is dissipating and beginning to dissipate and dissolve and disintegrate, we call it entropy or aging. So aging is when the electrification of the body through its ongoing participation consciously with spirit begins to back off. And when the soul can't use the physical form to manifest the spirit of the living God, then it begins to lose interest in the physical form. And that's what we call aging, which eventually manifests ultimately in death, which is total entropy, zero life force. And when there is an absence of life force in a body, it's said to be dead. In fact, we use the terms dead zone when you can't pick up the transmission waves for your cell phone. And we call it dead air when the air is not circulating in a room. So circulation is part of the life process, vitality, the moving of energy. So the ultimate demonstration of moving from the highest rate of vibration to the lowest and then back was enacted by Jesus, the Messiah. And this is very interesting because several things were taking place as he was doing that. He actually entered into our dead zone and breathed life into it. And he did that through restoring his own crucified body through the death process back into intense vivification, electrification, and animation. And that's why it left the imprint on the shroud. There was this tremendous blast of G-force and energy that came from the Holy Spirit, enlivening his cells. And the scriptures said that Jesus overcame death, hell, and the grave. So we can look at death as entropy and decay. Hell is that separation from life force. And the grave is deadened existence. And he reinstituted life eternal, life everlasting. That's why he came, to restore the birthright right down into the electromagnetic spectrum, which we call the densified third dimension or the fallen bipolarity universes. He bridged them back to life eternal. So let's visualize the resurrection process of Jesus' body as if we were viewing his inner energy field up on a screen, just like we did with our hand, and see his body before crucifixion. Here he was carrying the highest vibration on planet Earth at that time, the one that came without any kind of the messed up DNA that Adam McMahon had through we won't go into that in the show, but let's just say that he came without any of the aberrations that Adam McMahon was subject to, but he entered into the Adamic root race to bring that restoration and that revivification of true unlimited light, Ein Sof Or, that unlimited, limitless whole body light and life. So as he's crucified, let's watch and see how he passes through this process of death. We see his vibrations go down the spectrum of centropy to total entropy and death. Then his energy field moved from this total energization and life force to a total absence of life force. And during that process, he was ministering to the whole collectivity of energy in our universe, the whole collectivity that had bought into separation. And he bridged it all the way and defeated that very energy dream that we call death. So the resurrection is really awakening from the illusion of death. And it's appropriate we look at that at this time because we're getting ready to celebrate. Well, we're in the Holy Week at this time. We're getting ready to celebrate Easter. And it's good to know why you're celebrating Easter. And it isn't just something that happened 2,000 years ago. It's something that you are fulfilling today in even a greater way. Because as a collective now, we are the collective Messiah, if you will, that's raising our vibration beyond the entropy and the limitation that we've had prevalent in the lower densities into the limitless light. So as you watch this, it's almost like we're watching him throw a dimmer switch in his house and bring the lights down and then to bring them all up again, and this time even brighter. And that's why he said, too, that the things that he did, we will do an even greater because he goes to the Father. And when he said that, he meant because he returns to the unified field of the One, he then holds that possibility open as a frequency for us all to move as our collective Messiah, collective Christship and sonship into that state ourselves. And a metaphor of that is being caught up into Christ consciousness to be with Christ. So this we see another principle being demonstrated here, one very familiar to those of us from other worlds. And that's when we raise the vibration of something really, really, really high, it transcends the visual spectrum, which is rather limited in the human being, and it looks like it disappears. So we see that all the time when we raise and lower our spaceships, our Merkabas, and they seem to disappear, but they didn't really disappear. They just went into a vibration beyond our visual, humanity's visual range. So likewise, when the energy is slowed down and lowered to our visual range, it seems to reappear again. So this is how the light masters appear in and out of physical visibility as well. Those of you, myself included, who have had masters appear out of nothing and then disappear back into nothingness, that's what happened. So this same principle will be used more and more in treating illnesses and eradicating disease. I want to get into vibration a little bit and the disease state, because every state of consciousness and every disease has a specific energetic signature. There's a form of healing called radionics that many of us are familiar with, and this is the science of isolating the specific energetic signature of a state of consciousness or a disease, and then counteracting the effects of that disease through radiating a specific counterbalancing frequency. And that's then sent and transmitted as a vibration into the diseased area or state of mind. And this is the basis for vibrational medicine and healing. Now, you can experiment with this yourself. Let's say you have an area of pain in your body. Try this exercise. First of all, look into the energy field of that area that has pain. You may intuit or sense or know or feel or clairvoyantly perceive that disease and pain has a dense, heavy feel or look to it. There may be a dark area, or it may look dull in terms of color. The color may be muddied, or if there's lots of pain, it could be kind of a dull red. It'll have a lack of vibrancy. In the Kirlian photography, you can see breaks where the energy force is not radiating through that area. So experiment with sending energy to that area. What I do is I place my hand with great loving on that area that hurts. And it's like I'm caressing someone I love with all my heart. And I just have an intention of just tender ministry of love and gratitude. And you don't have to say anything or do any hocus pocus, just love. Place a hand of love and comfort on that part of yourself. I also find that the color gold really neutralizes pain. I actually don't hear people talk about that when they speak of healing colors, but I have experienced that my body will become free of pain if I visualize the golden gold light pouring into it. And, you know, that's the soul. That's soul consciousness. So obviously, when you've lifted your consciousness to the level of soul, you're going to be out-of-body consciousness, and you're not going to have pain. So probably that's why it works. But I'm a scientist when it comes to these things. I like to try all sorts of things. I don't just do things because somebody says so, or that's the way that everybody believes it is. I believe that we have great randomity in what we do and what we can exercise and choose to do. But basically what you want to do is shift the vibration of stagnant, dormant, stuck, blocked energy. Get it moving. However, and I found that holding an area in my hands or embracing myself, wrapping my arms around myself, and again, regarding the body with great appreciation. You know, it's very necessary to have this deep sea diving apparatus on, which we call this body, to dip down into these vibrational spectrums that we call the material universes. So we really need this body, and we need it to be healthy so that our soul can have a long life and get lots of stuff done that it wants to have accomplished. So without your body, you're not going to be able to do very much. So let's take care of this body, and let's love it. And when it has pain, let's see that as a cry for attention and love, and regard it as a form of communication. Don't diss it. Listen to it. What is it trying to say to you? And so your consciousness state can be altered in the same manner. What is your anger, your anxiety, your depression trying to communicate to you? Well, obviously, it's letting you know that your inner vibration is not working for you. It's not going to do anything but create more of the same. And it's eventually going to deplete your energy and make you ill if you keep exercising these negative and harsh energies. So find out what the communication is and correct it. You know, change that frequency. In fact, disease is but the result of lower and slower vibrational states of mind and emotion. So eventually these states will densify as a lowering of vitality in the body, which then opens it up to a manifestation of dis-ease. So to counteract dis-ease, be at ease. So that is why all positive energy is healing and all negative energy is depleting. So your consciousness has a broad range that runs through the gamut of moods, from bliss and joy all the way down to suicidal depression and death itself. And your positive tone enhances your survival rate. In fact, if you can hold your vibrations very, very high when these earth changes occur, you will not be in the vibrational tone range that will attract and magnetize to your particular situation the experiences of accident and disease. You just won't be in that frequency range that will experience that kind of a reality. So the best thing you can do to survive the times ahead and the times that we're facing right now, again, is to raise your vibrations to a positive tone, and that will enhance your survival rate. People are always worried about comets hitting the Earth. Do you know that everything that's in a negative state attracts its own destruction? So a negative planet will attract asteroids and comets and things impacting its surface. So again, raise your vibration. Allow the whole planet to swim in your love, to dance in your bliss, and do what you can to shift the energies beyond these scenarios of destruction. And, you know, all of you that want to maintain youth, the very secret of maintaining youth and health is to keep your energy and attitude and state of consciousness at the highest, fastest rate of vibration possible. And again, a fast rate of vibration does not imply rushing about, but again, bliss, ananda, is the highest vibration. And again, bliss is divine love, divine expansion, divine peace, divine light, divine joy. And, you know, I've seen actual yogis in India who can raise and lower their body temperature at will, stop or accelerate their heart rate, raise and lower their blood pressure, suspend their breathing so they can be buried under the earth for long periods of time, go into suspended animation so they don't have to eat, they don't have to drink, they can meditate without getting up for years. So there's nothing in the human constitution that can't be brought under your conscious direction of intention. We can actually bring all of those things under our conscious direction of intent. You can lower a fever. You can lower your blood pressure. You can lower your heart rate if your heart goes into too rapid a beat. You can be, I remember reading a story about two people that survived. Oh my gosh, they survived a long, long time, something like 10 days, 2 weeks, something like that. Maybe longer without any food or water because they visualized every day that they were eating and they were drinking. And they were up where there was snow. And they would sit down to a meal of hot soup even though they were just eating the ice. And they would raise their vibration, pretending like they were sleeping in a real, real warm tropical sunlight. And they were in perfect health when they were finally found. And they maintained their health by their visualization, raising their vibrations to match that level that they wanted to experience. So this is something we can all learn how to do. We can all raise our vibrations and change our state of consciousness and shift up and out of lower states or negative moods. Basically anything that causes us to lighten up, to laugh, to relax, to trust, to love, will raise our vibrations. You know, it's very simple. Just do something different. Don't cave in to your negativity. Don't give in to it. Don't give your power over to the dark and dreary. Give your power over only to the divine and the uplifting. And, for example, remember those times when you were feeling down and depressed and a friend called you up or invited you out and how that higher energy infusion enabled you to lift up and out of your doldrums. We've all had that experience. And we can all learn how to do that for ourselves by developing an entire repertoire of happy-making thoughts, joy-promoting activities, uplifting topics. And when we think about them, we feel happy. Anything that we can use that will cheer us and uplift our spirits and comfort us is part of that repertoire that we can bring together. I have a whole list of things that I can use for physical, emotional, mental, imaginative, all sorts of scenarios where I can use these things or suggest them to others that I'm working with when I'm counseling. So you can use it to help others too. You can always pop in a good uplifting CD or a DVD. Well, you can go out for dinner, take yourself out to dinner, or take yourself to a good movie or a concert or a stage play, or call up a friend. See what you can do to brighten their spirits and their day. So when you sense a lower energy headed your way, a depression or a sour mood, immediately
Have your antidote ready and use it. Don't waste a minute in promoting old age and death. Just not worth it. So as you keep yourself pumped up, enthusiastic, and positive, positively motivated in your life, you'll find that your vibrations begin to take on a really high, wonderful rate. People will love to be around you. They'll start saying things like, oh, gosh, I feel so good when I'm around you. Wow. And they'll want to be with you. They'll want to call you up and spend time with you because it feels so good to be in your energy. So it takes a little practice at first to train yourself not to give in to your negative states, but soon you'll love feeling positively energized. And giving yourself up to negative moods and states will no longer be an option or even a temptation. You know, one of the most poignant experiences I can remember occurred during one of my many trips to see Sai Baba. And I was in his ashram, Prashanti Nilayam, which is in a little township called Puttaparthi. Actually, the whole ashram itself is a little town now. And in the early years, it was really, really primitive. And people would get really, really ill when they would go to India. And almost always they'd have diarrhea and Shiva's revenge, Kali's revenge. not fun. Thank God I never had it, but almost everybody that I was with did. And so I watched a lot of extremely ill people. So it was very, very early in the morning before, it had to be really early because we used to get up like 4 o'clock in the morning. And there was a little 18-month-old baby, maybe a little bit younger, little baby boy, and he had diarrhea so bad. And he was sitting on everybody's suitcase and pooping on it. So we, at this point, were not terribly fond of this child. And we kind of wanted him to sleep a long time, you know, when he was asleep and not wake up. So I was playing possum, you know, kind of looking at him underneath my eyelashes. Because I saw him get up, and he was looking for a suitcase to poop on, and he was so miserable, poor little thing. He was covered with mosquito bites and, you know, diarrhea, and he was sick to his stomach. He couldn't keep his food down. And he looked around. His mother was asleep. Everybody was asleep. You know, we're wall to wall in a small little cement cell that is our living quarters. Everybody packed in there snoring away. And he looked around at everybody sleeping, and his little face contorted into a pucker. He was going to really let out a yell. And I watched him whimper, and then he just kind of took a deep breath, and he started singing, and he sang, Govinda Jai Jai, Gopala Jai Jai, Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jai Jai. I will never forget that long as I live. Here's this tiny baby making a definite choice to sing the sacred bhajans, the sacred name of God, instead of crying. And that baby was healed only eating vibhuti, the sacred ash that Sai Baba materializes. He would eat that, and he was cured. There was another baby, newborn, just a few weeks old. And that baby, too, it wouldn't drink formula, not even breast milk. It would only eat a large package of Sai Baba's sacred ash every day, and that baby was healed eating the sacred ash. There's so many wonderful stories of children and animals and people of all stages of disease and pain and misery who, in those dire circumstances, chose to sing God's name, to glorify God, to raise their vibration, to choose a positive expression instead of giving in to the doldrums and the misery. You know, the misery doesn't make the tummy ache and the diarrhea and the mosquito bites go away. But a higher vibration keeps you from getting those things. And, you know, I think the reason I never got sick in India was because everything in India to me was so holy and so sacred. It was like the whole vibrations were surcharged with the energies of Krishna and the great sages and rishis and saints. And I looked at India as my mother. And I couldn't conceive of my mother, India, hurting me in any way. I looked at everything as holy. Everything is full of God. And every time I ate something or drank something, and I took no precautions at all, I didn't take any medicine, I didn't do anything, but I repeated the name of God over it. I said, Om Shri Sai Ram, over everything I ate, Om Shri Sai Ram, as I drank the water. And I drank, you know, whatever would hold still, I'd drink it and eat it. You know, I didn't try to sanitize anything. But I was in such a state of divine bliss, too, that my vibrations were at a very, very high level, and I didn't get sick. And so that's another thing. You know, if you want to avoid getting colds and flu and contagious diseases, you have to raise your vibrations to where it's at a level way higher than the disease vibration. And then you won't get sick. You know, you'll find that you just don't, you know, the microbes or viruses or whatever, they can't find a toehold because negative things have to find a negative place to take root in you. Otherwise, they can't flourish and grow and produce their disease. So keep your vibrations up. I think it's better personally not to know than have a diagnosis if you're sick. Why don't you just take your body to God and give it to God and be happy. Find a way to counteract your fear and your negative state with joy. And don't buy into the illusion, which is death and disease and low states of vibration and separation from all good and all wholeness and all life. We don't have to buy into those beliefs. We really don't. So maintain a positive attitude and peace of mind and inner joy no matter what you are going through in your life, no matter what. You know, I found it true when I've gone through terrible tragedies and losses and deaths of my loved ones. I have found that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, gives us a sort of supernatural grace that gives us an kind of a numbness, kind of a shock, immunity to the sorrow so that we can get through that time. And then it's only later as we reflect on the loss or whatever that we begin to really grieve and suffer. Right at the time that it happens, like a bad injury, you're never in your body during an accident. You're never in your body when you meet with death or a murder victim, or if you're being tortured, you leave your body, so you're never in that situation. And likewise, not where I was going with this, but basically you're never in the tragedy. You're lifted out of it into soul awareness, and you watch it from afar. So that's also good news for people who have lost their life in these various earth events and tragedies. They're not in their body. They're caught up into the spiritual state before the body goes through those catastrophic events. So comfort yourself with that thought. It's very important to those of us who have lost our loved ones. And we are always given the measure of strength and faith that we need to face whatever it is that we are going through in this temporary dream of separation from which, beloveds, we are awakening. So as we explore quantum physics and the quantum life that we have in this vaster realm of energy and consciousness and vibration, we will begin to understand and redefine our life in terms of its eternal nature. And we will know ourselves as creative intelligence itself. And we will transcend the factors of aging And we'll do that as we also transcend our belief in time and time limitations. And we will come to understand that death and aging and disease is simply the result of intellectual assumptions and beliefs that are in error. Because we're always free. We're always one with God. We are pure, intelligent, creative spirit. And never, at any point, have we ever been held prisoner in a body. We are pure, divine energy. We are rivers of life and information, and we contain unlimited potentials and possibilities. So in transcending time, we have escaped the major snare that seems to keep us entrapped in the belief in solid form. And as we move into that highest rate of vibration, we manifest that state of undifferentiated oneness with divine source, as divine source. And we know that we are divine, holy, through and through, and there is nothing lacking. So, beloved, we are the cosmic dance of life itself. Life is but a dance of consciousness and energy. Purusha and Prakriti, Shiva and Shakti, unmanifest source, appearing temporarily, has manifested creation before it reunites again as the One. So, beloved, there is nothing separated at the quantum level. The entire energy of all that is exists in you, through you, around you, and interpenetrates and mixes itself with you. You are the dance, the divine dancer, and the dance of consciousness itself. So, let's take a deep breath. And we'll go out chanting you. You. God bless you, and may you have a very joyful Easter and Passover with your beloved families. Adonai.